We started beginning of this year talking about experiencing God and really looking at building our relationship with God through our experiences that we have with God. And, you know, as we began looking at this, we kind of started all of this based on the statement that Jesus makes as he's praying to his Father before he went to the cross, and that he identified eternal life as knowing the Father and knowing his Son. And so that's really what this is all about, is getting to know the Father and the Son, but not just knowing about them, you see. And we talked about the fact that there's a big difference between knowing about somebody and knowing somebody, and that we really truly get to know someone by our experiences with them. You can read a lot of information about someone. You can talk to someone else about another person and get lots of information about them, and you will know a lot about that person, but you will never get to know them until you spend time with them and have experience with them. And the same is with God. And so we're talking about our experiences and getting to know God closer and more intimately by our experiences, and then being able to take those experiences and to share them with other people. That's called evangelism. You see, that we're able to share with other people what God has done in our life, what our experiences have been all about. Now, last week in our study, we were looking at, and this is really kind of a two-part of this particular part of our study, and looking at the nature of God, getting to know God's nature. And last week, we looked at what the Bible has to say about the fact that God is love, and what that really means in terms of us, and the fact that because God is love, it's not that he just has a little bit of love and he gives us some love, but he is love. It compels God to always, always, always act in our best interest. God cannot do otherwise. And so all of our experiences that we have with God, say, have to do with God doing what is in our best interest, because God is love. Now, this morning, we're going to take another a look at a different aspect of God's nature, and that is the fact that the Bible tells us God is light. Okay? And so we want to take a look at that aspect of his nature and see, what does that mean for us, again, in our practical, everyday experiences that we have with God, so that we can get to know him better? We start off in a passage that, you know, you've heard me talk about so many times. It's one of my favorite in all of the Scriptures, in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, John writes there, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his Son, of Jesus his Son, purifies us from all sin." Now, you know, when we read that statement, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, we really need to understand that in terms of what John is trying to say is that there is absolutely no darkness at all. Literally, it means no, not any. There is absolutely no darkness in God at all. You cannot find darkness in God because it simply doesn't exist. Why? Because, again, it's like love. It's not just a matter of that God has love or God gives love. It's the same thing. He is love, and here it's not that God has some light. It's not just that God sheds light or shines light. It's that God is light. Now stop and think about it in this kind of a way. You really, in order to grasp this, you've got to stop and consider what the true nature of darkness really is. Okay? And what darkness really is simply the absence of light. Okay, now think about that just a moment, okay? Darkness is the absence of light. Okay? Now, that's the reason why those who are living or walking in darkness cannot be with God. You see, because the two cannot coexist with one another, light and darkness. You see, because wherever you have light, darkness is gone. You see, because darkness is the absence of light. Does that make sense? Think about it in this way. You cannot remove, you can remove darkness by adding light, right? Everybody knows, you've probably seen, you know, the little demonstrations. You know, you have a totally dark room and somebody lights a match. One little match, and what does it do? It lights up the room, doesn't it? Well, you can't have a room full of light and somebody lights darkness. You see? It doesn't work that way. Why? Because darkness is the absence of light. The only way you can have something be dark is to do what? Remove the light. Does that make sense? You see? Because darkness is simply the absence of light. So you see, when we talk about people being in darkness, it's almost like saying it's not so much that they are in darkness, it's that they are out of the light. You see? Which basically is the same thing, but does that make sense? See? We really truly need to understand the difference between what darkness is and what light is if we're really going to grasp the true nature of God. As the Bible says, God is light. You can't add darkness to something. Okay? But you can add light. Okay? And light overcomes the darkness. But in order to have darkness, the only way you can do that is to remove the light. And so those who are in darkness are there because they have removed the light. The light. John here is talking about, as he talks about the nature of God being light. And then he goes back to the basic premise of what we're talking about, the relationship that we have with God. You see? And first, on the negative side, that someone can claim to be in fellowship with God, yet they're walking in darkness, he says they're lying. The truth is not in them. Why? Because you cannot do both. Light and darkness, to exist in the two of them, can't happen because the two are mutually exclusive. One another. If you have one, you automatically cannot have the other. Okay? So to be walking in darkness means you cannot have God within your life. But he goes on to say in verse 7, but if we walk in darkness, and walking is talking about a relationship. That's what this whole thing is about. It's the relationship that we have with God. You see? If we walk in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And that one another, you've heard me say this before, the one another is referring to is you and God. You see? You have a relationship with God. If indeed you are walking in the light. But if we claim to have that fellowship but yet walk in the darkness, then there's no truth in it. Because you cannot have it both ways. It's got to be one or the other. We're either going to walk in the light or we're going to walk in the darkness because God is light. Okay? Now, as we look at this whole concept of God being light, turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and let's look at what John writes there concerning this whole issue of Jesus being light. And what does that mean for us? John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Well, who's he talking about? Who's the Word? It's Jesus. See? And he goes on to say, verse 3, through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made. Look at verse 4. In him was life. Okay? In him, that is, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of men. Okay? What does Jesus bring when he comes to this world? He brings light and life. Light into the darkness that is the world. You see? And with that light comes life. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it or comprehended it, not some of your translations would say. In him, that is in the Word, Jesus, we find life and we find light. Jesus' Word, which is the Bible, the Scripture, provides light. That's what it is. See? It provides light for that daily walk that we were just talking about a moment ago. You see? That's the light source. The psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet. You see? And so the idea that God wants us to understand is that He's given us, first of all, His Son, whom He describes as the Word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us, verse 14 of John chapter 1, you see. That Word came here and is given to you and I as a light to mark our path. That is, to show us which way to go. That's why He gave it to us. As you learn His Word more and more in your life, then it illuminates your way. Okay? It lights the path. You walk with Him, walk in the light as He is in the light, you say, then you have more experience with Him in your life, as His light is shining in your way. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, you cannot separate light and life. You see, the two go hand in hand. When you're walking in the light, you have life. You see, and that is as God intended for it to be. But God gave us that light, that is Jesus, to show us how we should live. Now, I want to take just a moment here and let's take a look at this and what does this mean in a practical way for us day by day in our lives. Let me just ask you a question. Do you feel at times that life is tough like I do? I mean, you know, there are times when I just kind of look at life and I go, golly day, it is tough just living this life. See? And it, you know, and all of us, I think, really, if we're honest about it, we experience that this tough life that we live in different ways, whether it's, you know, in a relationship with a spouse or with kids or with neighbors or workers or co-workers or bosses or, you know, whatever. It's just life. And isn't life sometimes you just look at it and go, golly, it's just so hard. I know I do. You know? It's tough. It's tough to always do what's right, isn't it? Or am I the only one who experiences that? It's tough sometimes to have to face some of the stuff that we have to face. And you know what makes it tough, don't you? It's not the stuff that we deal with, it's people. It's relationships. You see, that's where the tough part comes in. You know? I mean, I think sometimes we get a little distracted and sidetracked, and we let the little stuff in life really kind of complicate things for us when it really doesn't need to, you see, because we've got our priorities wrong. But it's really, think about it, isn't it the relationships, you know, that make life tough? And the reason for that is because we don't always do what we're supposed to do, when we're supposed to do it, how we're supposed to do it. And that makes life tough. See? I know it does for me. And my guess is that probably for most of you, it's the same way. From time to time, life is just tough. It gets discouraging. And when it's tough, when it gets discouraging, it's so easy to lose our way. But the really cool thing is that that's why God gave us His life. You see? To guide our way through those tough times. You see? You know, when we're struggling with a relationship, whatever it is, whatever is going on when it's tough right now, you see? That God has given us His Word to show us how to go. What direction to go in. How to deal with that situation. In other words, that light that illuminates the path, the direction for us to go in. That's why He gave it to us. And that's the only way, really, to get through it. Because without His Word illuminating our path, the only alternative we have is to stumble around in the darkness. Okay? And that's why He gave it to us, so that we could use it in a sense. I mean, think about it this way. You know, we talk about the Word of God being our sword, the sword of the Spirit. But I'd suggest to you it's also your flashlight. Okay? I mean, think about it that way. It's a flashlight, so that it can illuminate the path in front of you and show you, you know, which way to go. But it's kind of like, you know, probably most of you in here, you've got a couple of flashlights around your house, right? And you've probably got them in some strategic locations around your house, so that in case the power goes out and you don't have to stumble around in the dark trying to find them, okay? But how many times have you forgotten where that strategic location is? And then when you finally remembered it and you pulled that flashlight out, you realize that it doesn't work because there's either no batteries in it or they're dead. And so what are you left to? Stumbling around in the dark. Okay? Well, that's why regular use of the flashlight, if you'll allow me to use that term here, for God's Word, regular use of the flashlight will not only help you to always know where it is, okay, but it'll also help you to know that it's always charged and ready to go. Okay? Always charged and ready to go. And its purpose is to light our way so that we don't have to stumble around in the darkness. That's the nature of God. Okay? God illuminates our life. And the more experience that we have with Him in our lives, you see, the more that relationship illuminates our life and allows us and helps us to truly continue to walk in His light. Now, when we're talking about this whole experience with God and the way that we build a relationship with Him and how that relationship then not only enhances our lives, but then also we take it from there and we share those experiences with others, as we've been talking about all along. Well, the same is true of this nature of God, His light. We go back to the text that was read for us at the very beginning, and I'd encourage you to turn over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, And Matthew here, this is actually a quote from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Okay, in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, this is verse 12, he returned to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah: "The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." Look at verse 16. "The people living in darkness have seen a great light." You see? "On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." You see, it was part of God's plan that the light would come into the world, and that light would shine so that those who were living in darkness would be able to see their way. Now, those who were living in darkness, who does that refer to? Every one of us should raise our hand. Okay? Because that's who referred to us. Because outside of Jesus, that's exactly where we are, is living in darkness. But Jesus came, okay, so that the light would be shined, so that those who were living in darkness would be able to see the great light and to be able to find their way. Okay? Now, what that really says then is that we have a certain responsibility to do something with that light. Not just to light our path so that we can see, but to light the path for others so that they can see Jesus themselves. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, there Paul emphasizes the fact that all of us, see, who belong to Christ now, once were in the darkness. See, he says there, "You were once darkness, now you are light." And then he gives the challenge: live as children of the light. See, live as children of the light. It goes back to that relationship. How are we to be walking day to day in our lives? We're to be walking in the light. You see? And to be walking in the light is to be walking with God. Why? Because God is light. Okay? Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, gives us the commission. We always tend to look over at Matthew 28 as the Great Commission. But in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, we find a commission there also, where he says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And neither do men light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Instead," he says, "they put it up on a stand where it gives light to all who are in the house." And then he says, "In the same way, so you, let your light shine, so that men may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." You are the light of the world. That's our responsibility, to take our flashlight and not only shine it for ourselves, but to let others be able to be illuminated by that light that is within us. You see, in that way, when we are experiencing God in our lives, then we take the light that God is and we become part of that light. And thus other people are able to see Jesus through us. That's a true experience, you see. And as we live our lives and we deal with the tough stuff that we have to deal with in life, we deal with that the best way by allowing God's light to illuminate our way. And as we overcome the tough stuff on a daily basis, then we've got something that we can share with other people to help them in their lives, and hopefully to be able to bring them into that relationship with Almighty God so that they can come out of the darkness and into the light. That's what God has called upon all of us to do who belong to Him. Okay? Why? Because His nature is light. And one cannot, simply cannot, exist in darkness and be with God. Because God is light. Now, as you think about all of that, then I want you to really seriously ask yourself and do a self-examination here, okay? And the question begins with, where are you walking? There's not but two choices, okay? It's either in darkness or in light, one or the other. Okay? So where are you walking? And you may say, well, but Russ, of course I'm walking in light because I'm a Christian. Well, yeah, but again, go back to what we saw in 1 John chapter 1. You can claim to have fellowship with God, yet still be walking in the darkness. So self-examination is required to say, am I really walking in the light, or am I just playing games with God? Am I claiming it, but I'm not walking? If perhaps that's where you are this morning, and I don't know, I'm not, you know, I don't have anybody particular in mind. I'm just throwing that out there for everyone, for us to examine our heart and our souls and to say, look, I need to look at myself and see, where am I really walking? Okay? We all need to do that in our lives, and we need to do it on a regular basis, you see. It's kind of like checking those batteries. And perhaps maybe if you have been claiming to be in fellowship with God, but maybe your walk is saying otherwise, realize you can't have it both ways. If that's where you've been or where you're at, then you need to repent and you need to get back in the light. And for anyone here this morning that has not given your life to Christ yet, you need to understand and know that you are in the darkness. Because you cannot be in the light without Christ in your life. It's just not possible. Why? Because God is light. Okay? But the good news is for you, if that's where you are this morning, you realize, hey, I'm still in the darkness because I've not given my life to Christ yet, you can do something about that right now. Okay? If you're ready to make a commitment and give your life to Christ and have Him illuminate your life, you can do that right now, this very minute. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life and allow Him to give you not only light but life, see, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. We're going to stand and sing a song. Steve, if you'll come up. And it's an invitation song for you, anyone, to come up and let us know what we can do to help you experience God's light more in your life. Let's stand and sing.